I talk to a spirit. She comes in my dreams.
What is the path to awakening supposed to look like, to feel like? How do you know if you are on it? We ask these very sacred and sometimes vulnerable questions to many different women from all walks of life. A conversation that needs to be shared and heard. I'm Jo Hendy.
I'm Amanda Parker.
And welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Jo.
Here we are back on a Wednesday morning.
Podcast day with a very beautiful soul.
Oh, my goodness, which has just taken us through her modality, which is really beautiful, which you'll find out about in a little bit.
So we're feeling very expansive and very calm.
Yeah, very calm. Definitely calmed me down here. Today we have the beautiful Karen Hedges joining us. She is a freedom and empowerment therapist. Discovered the life-changing havening technique in 2015 when she was doing research for a book on the mind-body-spirit connection.
A body of work.
Yeah, body of work. Her early career was in traditional Western medicine, but after a decade she realised that the medical profession was primarily only treating the symptoms of disease. We know that one well. And it was actually life stresses that were predominantly the main cause of most illnesses, both physically and emotionally. After first researching the havening techniques and then becoming inspired to train to become a certified practitioner, she quickly realized that this was the missing link for humanity. Not only could havening quickly and easily transform people from disempowerment back to their inherent empowered state, but also move many from illness back to wellness, both physically and emotionally. This is so beautifully, and I think so beautiful. And for those that are going, what's havening? Think of...
We're going to find out.
We are going to find out.
Yeah.
But when I first heard of it, the first word
something for everyone
came to mind was... now I forgot it. It's like there's a word that people say about... It's like, is it haven? Or
a safe haven.
That's what I'm trying to think of. That's the word I thought of. And I was like, oh, that feels beautiful. I'm gathering it has something to do with that. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you, Amanda. Great to be here with you girls.
Yeah. Such a pleasure. We've been eagerly waiting to sit with you today. And as we'll discuss, you've actually gifted us with havening experiences that we've been bringing into our day and into our lives. And, oh, my gosh, the impact of it and all areas is just so real. It's very, very tangible and such a beautiful experience to share with yourself, but it just fixed so many different parts of your life.
I love it, and I love the time that we had together. We had a separate session each, which was great, and it's just one of those gifts that when I came across it, I thought, wow, I've got to share this with the world. Yeah, I love it. As you mentioned, Jo, havening is putting someone into a safe haven. And just a bit about the havening techniques. It was created by a Harvard-educated medical doctor in New York, Dr. Ronald Rudin, about 20 years ago. And he was strictly a medical doctor. And he came across the technique and he thought, I'm going to be a laughingstock. If I tell people that all they have to do to clear lifelong traumas is hum a song, stroke their arms, have some distractions, and all of a sudden something they've been carrying for 10, 20, 30 years, maybe more, is gone. They have the memory, but the emotion is delinked from the memory. So the memory is quite rightly in the past, as opposed to being, it's happening right now. So yes, he went down a rabbit hole, uncovered all the neuroscience behind it. So it's great. It's a psychosensory technique, which basically means you're working with the mind and the body using a sensory input. And in this case, we use the havening touch, which is a soothing, gentle touch. So as you said, Jo, it's putting you feeling safe. So if you feel safe in your mind and body, your mind and body then go, okay, I can release this now.
Yeah.
So yes, there is a lot of science behind it. I don't generally talk a lot about it. We can link something in the show notes for people who really want to know about it. But sometimes people's eyes start to glaze over if there's too much science.
Yeah.
People really don't care about how you do something. It's like, just get rid of just the pain and the fear.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is what I'm all about there.
Yeah. That's
and
so
you dive
true.
Straight in.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of diving straight in, we're going to dive straight into this episode with you, beautiful lady, and ask, how did your awakening begin?
Yes, it's always an interesting question, isn't
it?
And as we discussed before the show started, to me, I really think the awakening is an everyday experience.
Yeah.
It's an expansion. Mm-hmm. We didn't come in as a little baby, and if we leave 100 years later being that same little baby, having had no experience. And so it was one of those things where I had a profound spiritual experience at age 10.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a religious experience, but it was in a religious setting.
Yeah.
But it was something that happened. And from that moment, I just knew we're not alone here on this planet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just knew that there's something greater than us that's here, a beautiful loving presence.
Mm.
And we're part of that loving presence. And it's really who we are as well.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty profound at 10 years old, isn't
it? It was. Yeah. It was interesting, and I just knew. It was a full body knowing that, oh my gosh, it wasn't just, I have a belief that there is a God in the sky.
Yeah.
It was a full body knowing, like, wow, I have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Because I'm never alone. None of us are ever alone.
Oh.
And that greater, whatever it is, God, spirit, source, energy, is a part of who we are. But it was very funny how it happened. Do you want me to?
Absolutely. I was going to ask, but I thought, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we were raised as Christians in our family, but I sort of called us the Christmas Christians.
Oh, gorgeous.
We'd go at Christmas and maybe Easter and we'd certainly celebrate. We believed in a God, you know, that God in the sky or... So that was sort of talked about within our family, but we didn't go each week. And when I was about 10, my grandparents, who I just loved dearly, they joined the Pentecostal Church, which is an evangelical type Christianity, former Christianity. And, of course, they wanted to share that with their children and their grandchildren. And they lived a couple of hours away from us, and they had a beach house. And so at Christmas, we'd all go down to the beach house, all the cousins, the aunties, the uncles.
So fun.
It sounds very Australian.
Very Australian.
Yes, beautiful.
Very Australian, yes. And that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And on this one particular time we were down there, we'd go to the beach, we'd go fishing with Granddad, we'd come home, there'd be the big family get-togethers. And then after dinner, Nana and Granddad, sometimes the parents, would go around, go into Nana and Granddad's bedroom, and they seemed like a huge big bed. Looking back now, probably wasn't. When you're 10 and we're kneeling down and we're praying, and they're there, and of course they're very much connected. And with the Pentecostal Church, it's very much a full-on connection with God.
Yes.
It's a very much a communion with God, where you're not passively sitting there and the preacher's talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're praying. They believe in the laying on of hands to heal people.
Oh, wow.
It's very much a full-bodied experience.
Yeah.
They believe in receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues.
Oh, I like this.
It's very real.
Yeah.
If you've never experienced us, please
find
somewhere that does that.
Yeah.
It's not something that I practice now, but it was something beautiful then, and it really was part of the awakening. Mm. But this speaking in tongues is like, it's a spontaneous thing that happens to you, and it's an unknown language, and some people call it the language of angels.
It's like light language.
It's like prophesying. Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
It's prophesying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. How do they call it in tongues? Like how they call it, speaking in tongues.
Mm. So, you know, I had sort of seen a little bit of this. We'd been to the church and it was all very uplifting and clapping with the music. And as a child, you know, we're dancing in the aisles.
Loving it.
We just love the energy.
Yeah,
they're fabulous.
But it all seemed a bit strange and a bit weird. And these people speaking, what's that language? But as a child, you sort of tend to flow with things more.
Especially when you're with your family.
With
and
your family.
All together.
Yeah. And it was a fun time. And they'd make a big picnic. You'd go the whole day. It wasn't just go to church for an hour and go home. It was a whole day. And, you know, you'd have fun and whatever. Mm. Everyone was there. So on this particular day, there I am with my two favourite cousins. One was 9 and one was 11. Three girls. And you know what it's like when three girls get together?
So much fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And the cheekiness of it all. So there's Nana and Granddad. And we're all around this big bed. and we're praying, wow, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm like that to one cousin, and I'm like the other one, and they're like that digging me in the ribs. And we're sort of being, you know, giggling, quietly giggling, yeah. Nana and Grandad, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're there mocking, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, all of a sudden, God, source, universe must have thought, right,
yeah,
here's a bolt of lightning.
Oh, wow.
That came down into my body. I spontaneously started speaking in tongues.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, oh my gosh. And I call God, spirit energy, I call it the life force energy, because it was like that. It was like this life force energy came into my body.
Wow.
And it was like this being, like I was like lightning was coming off me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the heck is all of this? At the same time, a profound feeling of love. So I wasn't frightened in any way, but it was like, whoa. And so from that moment on, I thought, we're not alone here on this planet. We're okay. It's all good. So that was really the awakening. And from that, I just had a profound sense of peace. And I have zero fear about passing over or any of my family or friends passing over. Mm. In fact, I've got to reel it in a bit, because when my grandmother died at 96, beautiful life she had, we were very close all the way through. And she lived alone up until the last few months of her life. Mm. And her son, my father, rang me and said, oh, I've got some news. Nana's passed away.
Wow.
And I spontaneously said, oh, how wonderful. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to reel that back in. This is her son. This is his mother.
Yes.
And go into the compassion. I'm so sorry. But I just had this, wow, how exciting.
Yes.
She's had this brilliant life.
Yes.
She lived to be 96. Mm-hmm. We all loved and adored her. Everyone who met her loved and adored her. And I just thought, wow. So that old overcoat has now just been left on the bed. She's gone off. She's now probably back, probably many times into a new body, having a wonderful new experience. And I just thought, how wonderful. And I really am like that. And when I go to a funeral, I've got to stop smiling.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, people must think, who is this? She's supposed to be a therapist. She's supposed to be, you know, compassionate. Here she is. She's got this, how are you? Great. Isn't it wonderful? Like, talk about the person.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's how I feel about it. We're all just here. We're 1% human. We're having this amazing 99% spiritual experience. Infinite.
Yeah.
No need to worry.
It's so beautiful to have that.
It's absolute certainty, isn't it? And so perfect. Joyous as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. Mm.
So that's why when people come, and I mean, Joe, you said that. I said, great, Joe, so excited to see you. We'll have fun and expansion today.
Yeah.
And people go, I've just told you I've had a divorce, not you.
Yes.
I just told you this has happened, that's happened, I've had this and that. And you're saying we're going to have fun. Mm. It's going to be exciting. And yet every time in session, once we clear, we clear those issues, we clear the fear, the pain, the grief, whatever's going on, all of a sudden people then, oh, I step back into my power.
Yeah.
I see that now. All is well.
Mm.
We're all here. There are silver linings to everything.
Mm.
Everything is part of our soul's expansion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so beautiful. And I think about, when just from what you've been talking about just then, there's a few things that popped up. The first thing was this song lines. You know how indigenous people and also some African tribes and all that, when a child is born, they have their own song.
Yes.
And whenever they hear that song in life, when they have trauma, when the tribe comes back together and sings the song, the child goes into this state of kind of like bliss.
Yes.
And it reminded me of that, of safety, of the safe havening too, what we talked about earlier. But I know it's entwined in your world now. That's just the way that you do it. But there's so many different, like, cultures that have the same technique.
Definitely.
It's just all said in different ways, isn't it?
Definitely, Jo.
Yeah, it's wild. I've just had that kind of realization as we're sitting here thinking that, that we all have that same kind of thread through us, talking about souls.
100%.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
And it's interesting, isn't it, where you'll have a flash of that, whether it's, you know, you love the beach, Amanda, you're going down there and you're swimming with the ocean, or you see a sunrise, or, you know, you're with your beautiful children, or your grandchildren, Joe, you've got the grandchildren. And it's one of those beautiful things when you see through their eyes, because the young ones, I mean, as mothers, we've got amazing stories that our children told us. 18 months, 2 years old, out of the mouths of babes is a common saying, because they're so fresh from spirit.
Yeah.
They remember who they are. That it's before, you know, society.
Yeah.
Generally well-meaning. Generally well-meaning parents and society, caregivers.
Mm.
You know, no one sets out to harm a child generally. But we take on these sort of beliefs
yeah.
that we know, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the young ones. Ask the 2-year-olds, ask the 3-year-olds. So much wisdom, so yeah. much truth there.
What yes, did your grandparents do when yeah. you were sitting there having this?
Oh, my grandmother, because it was funny because I rang my brother and I said that I was coming to see you girls, and part of it was the awakening. And I said, I realised that was my main awakening that's then carried me through my whole yeah. life, where really things just sort of don't affect me. I just go, okay, there's a blessing here, there's a lesson here. And I asked him, and he said, well, I remember it. He said, but I wasn't in the room. He somehow ducked out. And he said, I remember Nana coming out, and she was just so euphoric.
Yeah.
She was just like, oh my gosh, how yeah. wonderful. So yeah, that was the thing for them, you know, so where everybody they want to share it.
Felt it. Everybody was kind of sub-experienced your experience or observed.
The yeah. Definitely the grandparents who were in the room. The cousins yeah. were like, whoa, what just happened there? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was one of those moments of celebration.
Absolutely.
Because when that happens in that religion, then you get baptized.
Yeah.
You know, it's a proper baptism.
Yes.
That's not correct, not proper. But it's not something you have as a baby where you just come through and it's just part of
automatic.
The ritual. That's right.
Yeah.
So for them, it's a ritual where that has happened. You've received the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues. Under you go. You have a proper dip under the water.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, that was big for them. And yeah.
Beautiful to be celebrated in that way. And
it was lovely.
And also at that age, like pre-teens and all those sort of times of growth and expansion, to have that certainty and confidence and just that trust.
Yeah, it's interesting because along the way, you know, certain things happen throughout your life, you know, whether someone has a car accident. In the work I do now, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's certain instances, and within my nursing, when I was straight out of high school, what do I want to do? I don't know. Girlfriend's going, let's go.
Yeah.
And that was where the medical training came in. And I learned a lot from that, where it was just a matter of people don't really want to be in hospital.
Mm.
You go there, you do what you have to do, but then you want to get out of there.
Mm.
And I just knew, like, let's just have fun. If we can have fun, if you can relax, if we can joke around, if we can talk about fun things that you like, it takes your mind off of the physical process that's going on that you're so worried and so concerned about. And so if you are worried about something, you're in a state of fight, flight, freeze, or sometimes fawn, which is like the people pleasing. You're not in that state of resting, repairing and healing.
Yeah.
So this was before I knew Havening or anything like that, but I just knew that if I can go there, we can talk about the football. We can talk about whatever their interests are. We'll just have fun.
Yeah.
And people would get better much quicker. Mm-hmm. And then they would go home and they'd feel so much better.
So true.
But it was always also interesting where when someone died for the first time. And that was when I saw that. And, Joe, it was incredible because you'd be with someone, even if they were sort of in a semi-coma, they were right near the end, family had been, whatever, there was still an energy within the room. And the first time it happened to me, so I was only like 18, and I went back into the room and I had a beautiful connection with this person who had been there that had a lovely life. And they were there, even though only semi-conscious. 5 minutes later, I walked back in and the whole room was different.
Yeah.
It really was like there was just an old overcoat on the bed where their body was.
Yeah.
But their energy, their life force had gone.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, we love these beautiful bodies. Sometimes we get distracted by them.
Mm.
But if we just remember, like I said to my dad, he's now 92, Dad, your body's just like a car.
Mm.
At the moment, yours has been 400,000 miles around the clock.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a few aches and pains. He still plays golf twice a week, but, you know, he's doing all these things. And he seems to have a fear of dying, as a lot of people do.
Mm.
And I said, Dad, you don't need to worry. I said, there's a brand new Ferrari on the other side. You're going to step out of this car, this beat up old car that served you well, and you're going to step into this brand new Ferrari.
Yeah.
And he said to me, oh, no, I'd rather have a Toyota. I said, okay, that's your choice. Why a Toyota? They go on forever.
A diesel Toyota. I'm thinking he's going for the sturdy.
He's going for that.
Yeah. Wow. What I'm hearing there too, like with your nursing, is that you're seeing people as, instead of seeing them as a patient, you're seeing them as people. And
absolutely, Amanda.
I think when, from recent experience, when people go into a hospital in pain or discomfort, that social connection and being seen as a person is very enlivening, which is, you know.
And that's only if they are, because often it's, you know, it's a 36-year-old female in 14B who's having a hysterectomy. So yeah, very disassociating from who they are as a being. It's more the body part.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was one of those things that was, I loved it, but then it was time to move on and do other things as well. But then when I did the havening, I do a lot of work with people prior to having, whether they've got an illness or whether they're going for surgery and they have a fear of going in for surgery. And my beautiful mother, just a quick story about mum, she's 85, 86, just turned 86, and she's had two total hip replacements in the last 3 years.
Wow.
And she was a little bit worried about going in, and she hadn't been in hospital for about 45 years. And the beautiful part of havening is that it's very quick because you're working with the electrochemical system of the brain, and it's very soothing. And so what you do is, instead of just talking about it, you go, "Mum, is there any previous experience in hospital that you're worried about?" And she goes, "Oh, well, there was something 45 years ago when I was in hospital." 45 years, I'm going, "Kathy, it's time to
good
let
memory.
Yes.
Well, yes.
So within like 10 minutes, we cleared that memory. So yes, she had the memory, but the emotional charge wasn't there. And the other part of havening, which works with, you know, elite sports people. So Trevor would love this, Joe. Anyone in going, whether it's just a professional Olympic sport or, you know, basketball player, whatever, is that, yes, it clears past encoded fears, traumas, or whatever.
Results.
but it
can really, as an elite athlete, if you've come second every time, you know.
100%.
Yeah. I think about that straight away. I was like, results can be traumatic.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And instead of going, "I lost," no, you got the silver medal in the Olympics.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Let's celebrate that.
Yeah.
So, someone with the golf yips, you know, if you ever know a golfer, sometimes the great golfers, professional golfers, get this as well.
Yeah.
All of a sudden they're playing golf and their putting goes off. And then the mind gets involved. And of course the mind is so powerful. And when you think about it, they're hitting a ball into this tiny little hole with this stick. It's like
so bizarre. Yes.
So it's quite tricky.
Yeah.
But because they're professionals and they practice and they train the body, which is great. But if you haven't got the mind on board, you know, that's a problem. So yes, what you do is you clear any past, whether you say the winning there or not winning, the golf yips, whatever, the operation. So you clear that and then you go, okay, let's be the movie director of your life. Let's imagine what would be the ideal outcome that you would like. And then we start the havening process, which another 10 minutes later. So they become a little bit into the future. So in Mum's case, I said, just go to the day after the surgery. Just imagine the surgery's happened, it's all happened, and you're there and you just get up, you haven't got any pain, and you're there with the physio and you just walk down the corridor. Because I'd had the nursing background, I knew the whole regime.
We could walk through it.
And so, yes, she did that. So she had the operation, went really well, came through, and I was there the next day when she was up with the physio, and the doctor was there as well. And there she is. She had the little trolley that they have to support them, and she's just walking down.
Easily.
Now, she, prior to that, hadn't been able to walk hardly at all. It was excruciating bone-on-bone pain in the hip joint.
I can imagine.
Excuse me. So, yes, it was just a delight to see her doing this.
And you'd be able to do that for her.
And the nurses were there saying, "Would you like some painkiller, Mrs. Beasley?" No, I have no pain.
Oh, fabulous.
So they kept asking it and she'd had no pain.
Wow.
So the mind and the body were totally in sync with each other and just like happy.
She was a movie director and off she went and she did that.
That's the perfect way to, because our next question is around the thoughts and the mind.
Oh, okay.
So before you knew about havening and any of that, when did you first notice a shift in your thoughts about the world around you?
Well, it really was that 10-year-old experience
that
I can remember. But it really just became that throughout my life, where if something happened, I just thought, okay, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
We're okay. We're safe. We're guarded. We're protected.
Yes.
So, you know, no matter what it was. And when my grandmother passed, I'd often speak to her and I'd say, "Nan, I need some help now. Excuse me." And I could just feel her presence.
Take a moment.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like we've had a lot of people that can channel that come on. And once they've had that experience, their level of certainty around what's out there, what's available to them outside of the physical realm, just like almost comes in and stays. And they talk about that, like when they've had that experience, the experience of channeling, like where they're, something else is coming through, they've had that profound experience, that the level of certainty around you know, trust the universe, all of those things that we all feel like we have to work on just comes in for them. Mm. They have this level of certainty that just they or a level of knowing.
It's the knowing.
Yes.
It's definitely the knowing rather than the belief.
Yes.
Might need to stop for a minute.
I'm going to get you a... So I feel like, Karen, when Joe was talking about the channeling, for me having experience havening with you, like that's really the space that you go into as well, that you're actually connecting with, you know, our higher consciousness to talk around the issues that we've come in with or where we want to receive help or work things through or let go of. But it's you're like in a channeling space too, because you just kind of go into like a so much joy but so much certainty with what you're doing with the person. Is that because of a practice over the years, or how would you describe that?
Amanda, it's both. Mm. And I felt that with both of you ladies when we were there having the sessions together.
Mm.
And with the havening, it creates a delta wave in your brain, which is very slow brainwave touch. And it's created by a soothing touch.
Yeah.
So the main touch is from the shoulders down to the elbows in a lovely soothing way, just like you would with your beautiful newborn baby or your toddler or, you know, your grown-up children now.
Yeah.
If someone needs some soothing, you just go to the shoulder.
Yeah.
You put your arm around, you give them a hug. When children are young, you stroke their brow. And I think you said that, Joe, with your children
you love.
Yeah,
putting them to sleep.
Yeah, putting them to sleep. So the havening touch creates this beautiful delta wave.
Mm.
And that's the delta wave is when you are in a deep sleep at night and you're consolidating all of your memories.
Mm.
And so with the delta wave, and because whether I'm havening the client, I'm applying the havening touch, or you can also do it for yourself. So that's why we can work online. But sometimes people prefer to haven themselves.
Yeah.
When I haven people, I either haven them, or if they're havening themselves, I'll haven myself at the same time, which is then a beautiful connection to the person. And the havening is just like this. Mm. It's a gentle, soothing, slow touch, and it just slows your brain waves down. So when I'm doing that with a client in session, in person, like we were together, there is a beautiful connection because our universal field, our unified field, is so close to each other and we're heart to heart. And I find within the session, people will come, they are visited by, you know, their beloved people who have passed.
Yes.
And I had a beautiful session with a girl who had a tragedy. She was 32 weeks pregnant and the baby passed in utero, and she contacted me and we just had this most beautiful session together. And once we had cleared a lot of the grief and the pain that had gone with that, she connected with the spirit of this beautiful baby. And oh my gosh, so it was so powerful. And that baby had a message for her, which came through me, and they weren't my words. And you know, we're havening and we're connected and we're in this delta wave state. So yes, the delta wave state is where you consolidate all your memories at night. But in this case, you're awake. And so that messages do come through. And there was another with that particular client, 3 months later after this had happened, she was pregnant again, was amazing.
Which is often a block, isn't it, when you have such a traumatic experience, it can create an emotional block to actually falling pregnant again.
100%. Because you have a fear. I don't want that happen again. I don't want to fear that. And a lot of people who have issues with conceiving will come to me because of that. Or when they were 17 or 18, they had a scare where they thought they were pregnant. Dear God, please don't let me be pregnant. My father will kill me. And so then the body has this message. And when
it opens up.
When they're 30, 35, 40, I'd like to get pregnant now, but they find they can't get pregnant.
The body's going, but you said no.
And I'm listening. Your wish is my command. And so the body will protect you, because with our brain, I mean, people think, oh, that's to make me happy. No, that's to keep you alive on the planet. That's the survival part of you. That's all it cares about. It doesn't care if, you know, you're having a great day. Like, I'm keeping my human alive. That is my job. And the havening works directly with that fear center of the brain called the amygdala. And so so we are able to directly access that. We can clear that fear because you might have a fear from when you were 5 years old and now you're 45 years old and your 45-year-old self has keys to the car, keys to the house, a credit card. The 5-year-old or 4-year-old self didn't have that. They were reliant on their parents, their caregivers. Yeah. So they had to shut down a part of themselves. And instead of making mummy and daddy wrong for not loving me how I needed or meeting my needs in the moment, I make myself wrong.
Yeah. Mm.
So I am wrong because it's too scary to make mummy and daddy wrong because I'm alone in the world. So you just go back and you clear that, and then you say to the four-year-old self, it's a beautiful inner child work that we do as well, where you take that beautiful child and you clear that from them and you say, how old do you think Amanda is now? How old do you think Joe is now?
Yeah.
Often they'll go, oh, 12
yeah.
or 7. It's like, no, I'm a grown-up adult and I'm here for you now. And we reparent that inner child. So we do all different things throughout the session. It depends what's needed.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It is. It's very beautiful.
Connecting in with the inner child is such a
powerful
sweet spot, I think, isn't it? Because
100%.
Again, reflecting back on your experience as a 10-year-old, it was kind of, you know, having a happy childhood, those sort of things, but at 10 to have such a powerful experience and have that little girl to draw on, I guess, as you travelled through life.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful gift to yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I see that in everyone else straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people might come and say, I've got a laundry load list of, I've got this, and then that happened, and then this happened, and all I see is this beautiful divine spirit within. Mm. They've had these experiences. It's not who they are. And so that's why some people go, oh, I'm broken. I said, you're never broken. It's not, it's like, it's not what's wrong with me. It's like, I wonder what happened to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
That you now feel like this. We're all mothers. We've all seen our beautiful children come into the world.
Mm.
They are so full of love for themselves and everyone else. They know how wonderful they are.
Mm.
They ask to get their needs met no matter what. If it's 2 a.m., I'd like some breastfeeding, please. Yeah. You know, like, is the shop open here? I need some food.
Mm.
So have none of us had any problem with any of that.
Yeah.
We all loved everyone. I took my daughter to the playground when she was 2 and we're on holidays and we didn't know anyone there. Turned up at this playground. Oh, mummy, look, there's all my friends.
Oh, gorgeous.
And it's like, that's right.
Yes.
It's our beautiful human family.
Yeah.
So, yes, looking that's through so the children's eyes, it can be revelationary for us. But by we can parent our own child.
Yeah.
Mm. And so a lovely practice I like to give is that you take a photo of yourself as a child. Your favourite photo, 4 years old, 6 years old, 12, whatever it is, and you put that as your screensaver. And every time you check your phone or answer your phone, there you are.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And you just take that little second of acknowledgement, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, Jojo, you're so cute, I love you, you know.
That's so cute.
And it's easier to say that. And also getting a photo and putting that same photo on your bathroom mirror as you're getting cleaning your teeth. Oh, hi, gorgeous, I love you. Oh, we're going to have a great day. You're amazing, whatever. You're talking to yourself, but you're not doing that mirror work that the beautiful Louise Hayes said, where you look into your eyes and say, you know, Amanda, I love you. I really love you.
Mm.
Can be a bit confronting.
Mm.
Whereas there's your younger self there. Of course, I love you. You're so cute. Or you're wonderful. You can do anything. It's going into you as an adult as well.
Mm. Yes.
So it's a lovely shift.
A beautiful shift. And actually, I just had a little reflection then on a book. Series by Carolyn Miss, who's a medical intuitive, and one of the processes she developed was when you're talking around going back there before. It's I got an aspect of it's almost like you create forgiveness with people, which is, you know, we're all looking for that in some way, shape, or form from, you know, with our wounds and traumas and things. And one of the she had several different things which were the combination of the chakra system and the Catholic Church, more or less, with, you know,
it was quite interesting.
There's so many different avenues where it was about communion, it was about forgiveness, and it was all these different processes that she took people through. And it's kind of what you're doing with the havening is giving people permission to forgive themselves, to see themselves again in their true light without all the encumbrances and that 1% of human weighing them down.
Well, absolutely.
Mm.
And if you think of it like being the onion, you often hear people say it's peeling back the layers of the onion.
Mm.
So if you think underneath, you're a beautiful shiny diamond. Your own beautiful children have told you that and shown you that. They come in and you see them as a beautiful young child. Could they ever do anything that would ever make them unlovable or unworthy?
Mm.
Like, no, we have, you know, we make mistakes, but they're just lessons along the way. Every human does. Mm. But at the core, you know, we're infinite beings. We're miracles.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, we're connected to all that is. And if you think, well, I'm just on this journey, having expansion, having experiences, getting the feedback. So there's no such thing as failure. It's just all feedback.
Absolutely.
But it is beautiful with the inner child work.
Yeah.
And often you'll find if you can clear away all that baggage, because you don't need it, it's in the past, it's not happening now. Mm. You always say live in the now, be in the now. It's much easier once you take off those layers to go, that's right, that's who I am. And you're so much more in that when you're not carrying that backpack of troubles that you've been carrying.
Mm. Yeah.
Most of them were given to you anyway. You've taken them on as beliefs, which they're not true.
Well, I love what you said before about the young child not wanting to put things on mummy and daddy because that's too scary and they're already feeling alone. I mean, wow. Mm,
yeah. Does it make sense?
Oh, so much. Yeah, so much.
Everyone sort of can relate to it to a certain degree. And if you're, wow, we all felt like that.
Mm.
But we weren't all born like that.
Mm-hmm.
We were all born knowing, as our beautiful children were. We're lovable. Yeah. We're worthy. We deserve to be here. We're here for a purpose.
Mm. Yeah. I want to bring it back to you.
Yeah. I feel like it's all about Karen's journey through the haven.
It's really beautiful, but I want to rewind just for our listeners to be able to learn from you, because you know just the way you talk about it's so beautiful, like and you're so knowledgeable on
it is,
and it makes it easy to understand. But we want to kind of pull it apart and understand how you got to that place. So, and one of the questions that we have is, what did you decide to change outside of the construct of the world with you in your teens, even going into, you know, being a mother and all that? Did you do anything differently because of the experience you had when you were 10? Like, did you have to, like, you know, part of that is hard, stepping out of that mainstream world that we live in to make our own choices that are for the betterment of you and your family.
Yes, and Joe, it's one of those things where, as we talked originally, was every day is an expansion.
Mm.
And every day there is an awakening. And so if you look at your life, you're a 10-year-old, then you're a teenager, then you're out in the workforce, married, children.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those is just an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you know, you come across, you have interactions with other humans on the planet.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you're here for the gifting of someone's expansion of their soul, and sometimes someone comes into your life the other way around.
Yes.
And I believe all of that. So sometimes I'm here to walk with people. We're all just walking each other home on this beautiful journey.
Mm.
And sometimes people will come into my life for that. And so with each stage, you know, if you go, I'll build on that, or I'll have an open mind about all of this.
Mm.
And so each stage has taken me through that.
Mm.
And definitely becoming a mother was a beautiful experience and an expansive experience there. Mm. And most people I talk to find, yes, you're one person on that side. And then, wow, this life is so amazing and incredibly different and on the other. And I think if we look at our children, that we're not here to guide them and tell them everything. It's more the other way around, where they come so fresh from the other side, and it's a dance that we do together.
Mm.
And so, yes, and my beautiful daughter, I say to her regularly, you know, she'll be complaining, something will happen within the friendship group, and I'll go, darling, not everyone is here for your joy and expansion. Some people are coming into your life for you to be of assistance to them, to expand for them. Oh, it's not all about me, but I'm 21 years old. Are you sure it's not all about me?
Mm.
And she's divine. She loves the havening. She's all of these practices. She's really taken it on board. And that's when I knew that all of these things that I had been delving into when I was looking to write the book itself, I then got off track because I then became involved in actually using these practices, bringing it together with my spiritual beliefs. And expanding basically into my own method in a lot of ways.
Mm.
It's like, okay, so we build on that, and that changes us, Joe.
Mm.
Like every time I sit with a client, I change. You know, every day we're interacting with our family, we are changed at the end of the day.
Mm.
And if you look at that, each day you're born again, if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
And you go to sleep at night, I don't know about you, but I don't have any memories for, you know, at least 6 hours of that night. I feel like, you know, we're perhaps jetting around the universe. The body's having a nice recovery here, but I think the spirit's off, you know, doing what the spirit does. It would be completely bored, I think, just lying in bed at night for 6 hours. And then come back in the next morning, now I'm fresh again.
Yeah.
And looking at each day as a fresh new day and an expansion, rather than just, once a year at New Year's Eve. Okay, what's happening now?
Yeah.
On
Earth
or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Universe, show me how great this day can be.
Yeah,
how can Amanda I serve today?
Yeah, Amanda and I were actually just talking about that this morning, you know, that with the energies that are around, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening out, you know, outside of, into the universe too, with planets and all different type of stuff. But it feels like it's amped up again to another level, you know, and the energy's like very specific and around the learnings, the lessons that we have, you know, it's, we can't just say that, we can't just wait for the big lesson to come.
No.
It's in every moment.
Yes.
And it can be the tiny, tiny little things.
Absolutely.
Right up to the big, big things.
Yes.
But we need to be aware and open to be able to see them and realise them.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're right, Joe, it's the everyday.
Mm.
It's like when you went and had a coffee.
Yeah.
And you were appreciative to the barista and you paid it, you know, a genuine compliment, or you're chatting to the person in line.
Yeah.
We don't know, was that person suicidal today?
Exactly.
You don't know the effect that you have on people.
Yeah.
But you can sense it, and people can sense your humanness, but also your spirituality, and just that connection that we all have.
That's the part of when you talk about the expansiveness that I think of, because if we're not allowing us to feel into that expansiveness, which means we're picking up on all the energies that are going on around us.
Yes.
If we're closed off to that, then we're basically having a bit of a shit life, really, aren't we? I mean, that's the crux of it, isn't it? Because it means our hearts, there's a disconnection. Our hearts closed off.
Yes.
The chakras are closed off. There's no space for us to be able to feel what's available. We're just kind of walking around in a bit of a dark hole.
Yes.
And that's where I suppose the havening, I mean, I know the havening technique comes into play. But when you talk about expansiveness, you're talking about space around us to pick up on all the little things that are happening for us.
Sometimes people say you put a wall around you to not let the bad stuff in.
Yes.
But then you're not letting the good stuff in.
Yeah.
So to me is, we don't have anything to fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know none of us are getting out of here alive in this physical body. We know that.
Yes.
We come on knowing that. You know, for people to
think. But you know what's funny? I've heard so many people say that's our greatest fear.
I know.
Dying.
It is.
We'll spend our whole life being afraid of dying.
Why?
Yeah.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, we could be still on the planet another 50, 60, who knows how many years.
Yeah.
Who wants to go through that in fear?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, with the method I've created here, is it frees people from those issues, which then allows them the empowerment to live the life that they came here to live. So it's okay. Like I learned that because I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, where I see not only is the glass half full, it's overflowing with French champagne. So it's like, that's okay and well and good, but I did learn through the havening is that you need to clear what's going on underneath. Otherwise it's a bit like putting the glitter, or putting, you know, someone will say, you know, putting perfume on a pig. Or it's one of those things where you need to clear.
I've heard another great term.
What have you heard? Come on, what have you heard?
Putting ice cream on shit. That's horrible.
That as well. We're not having any of that.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
So
if something goes wrong in Karen's world, like something big goes wrong in Karen's world, what's the process for you?
Well, what I'll do is, I'll go and have a quiet time.
Yeah.
I'll do the havening, which is very soothing.
Yes.
I'll tap into, okay, what emotion am I feeling?
Yeah.
And I mentioned to you this in our session, where anyone who's ever had a teenage child, have you ever had a moment of worry in your life? As parents, as mothers, of course we have. And I also say to them, remember, you had an adolescence. You were a teenager once. We've all come through on the other side. They'll be the same as well. But once again, let's clear what is there. Yes. We're not going to sort of, you know, put that glitter on it. Yeah. Oh, excuse me, what was that?
No, yeah, I see.
We're not going to do that.
Yes.
So first of all, you'd sit with what is there.
Yeah.
And what is the feeling? Now, the beauty of the havening is, yes, you can clear a past event that has happened, whether you're 4 years old or 12 years old or whatever it was, but it also deals with the emotions. And this is more something you would do in session with a therapist.
Yeah.
And you'd clear some big things that you've had. But if you're worried, and worry, as I say, with parents is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what am I feeling? Sit quietly. What am I feeling?
It's like the one you get. It's what comes with the child when it's born. Here's a beautiful child and some worry.
Yeah. True. And so, you know, that 1% human, we honour. We honour her. We honour him. Yes. That 1% human, we always honour. And so the beauty of the havening is that you would then connect to that feeling, whatever you're feeling. Let's say it is worry, and you would just start that gentle soothing, shoulder to elbows of the havening touch. And there are three touches, but this will just go with the one while we're here. And it's just that soothing. And so all of a sudden, I'm feeling relaxed now. Join in if you like. But it's one of those things. It's one of those things where you would connect to the feeling of worry, and then you would just close your eyes and you would just say worried.
Yes.
Worried. Worried. And that might go on for 10 times saying worried. It might go on for 3 minutes saying worried. But very soon that is disconnected.
Yes.
And what is actually happening is working in the neurobiology of the brain, because it's an electrochemical response that the delta wave creates in the brain.
Yeah.
And so it is now actually going in to past experiences of worry that you have experienced, and it's delinking that biological thread that has been placed there.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden you're so much lighter.
Yeah.
So then, and of course this happened with me, my daughter was 14, she's gone from that stage of being sort of ferried everywhere by mum.
Yes.
To, I'm just going to jump on the tram with my friends. And I might go on the train to Brisbane. Yes. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
Not quite out the adult, not quite the child, but oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I woke up one morning, I said, oh, well, walk your talk. Very worried, what's going on? Went downstairs, just did that same practice. Worried, worried, worried. And literally after about 1 minute, I went, wait a minute. I survived teenagehood. Yeah. We all survived teenagehood. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I just had that knowing.
Yes.
And I believe we've all got our little guardian angels. How do we all survive on this planet to this age, let alone, you know? So I feel we've all got that coverage, whether it's God or spirit guides, whatever people believe in. So I thought, she's got her spirit guides.
Yeah.
And I was so much lighter after that. And it was so funny when I saw her about an hour later. Mum, what's happened? You're so much nicer again. You've been so mean to me over the last couple of days. You're so nice.
Yeah.
And it's because I wasn't worried.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, Joe, if you're worried about someone,
you
can't be loving them at the same time. They're so different energies.
Yeah, right.
So if you're worried about someone,
you
want to be loving your child. You want to be loving your partner.
Yeah.
You don't want to be worried about them. You don't want to have fear about them.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if I'm worried, I'm not loving.
Yeah.
If I'm angry, I'm not loving.
Yeah.
And so to me, with fear as well, you know, fear isn't the opposite of love.
Yeah.
It's just a lack of love.
That's confronting, even hearing that, because it's so hard. Sometimes it's really hard to get out of the fear or the worry or the anger.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And that's why when I discovered havening, I want to share it with the world. And that's why I said to you girls, please come and have a session.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of the beautiful work that you are already doing out in the world. And Joe, with your girls, with you that you teach, just so beautiful what you're doing. And the podcasts that you do, that you allow people this platform. And I work with a lot. I'm sort of known as a therapist.
Yes.
And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah.
But therapists will come to me, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go out and use, they'll be a clearer channel, and they'll be able to use what they know in a much broader fashion with their clients, who will then go and affect their family.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a beautiful knock-on.
It's a ripple.
Pyramid effect.
Huge ripple. Yeah.
It's so true. And 100%. I love how I want to use the word simple, you make it, because sometimes, you know, we think of therapy as weeks and days and months and dollars and all of this stuff. And, you know, you have to go deep and you have to cry and all, you know, a lot of people think it. That's
true.
Because the feeling is so heavy.
That's the old model.
Yeah. The feeling's so heavy that they think that it's going to be heavy to get out of it.
Yes.
Where it's, oh no, it can be something like that.
Very quick.
Yeah.
Well, there is a book written by one of the havening practitioners. His name's Harry Pickens, and it's called 15 Minutes to Freedom.
Yeah, wow.
And the reason it's called...
I love that.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And that's what it is. And the reason it is so quick is it's because, and this will be in the video if you want to put it in the show notes, it's working on the electrochemical system of our brain.
Mm.
So if I go and turn on the light, which is electricity, I put the light on, boom, it's happened. That's why it's so quick.
Right.
So someone can carry a trauma that they've had for 50 years and it's all gone in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And people go, that is ridiculous. How did that happen?
Mm.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And beautiful Dr. Rudin, he's had thousands upon thousands of clinical studies within his office.
Yeah.
So people would come to him, New York, downtown Manhattan, great medical practice, huge. And they'd come for their blood pressure, they'd come for their checkup, whatever. And when he was developing Havening over the past 20 years, it's been established for 13 with trainings and things, 10 years in 2013, he would say, yes, good. So have you got any phobias? And they'd go, yes, I have got a cat phobia. Oh, you want to try something new? And of that 15-minute consultation of generally taking the blood pressure, he would then quickly do that, phobia gone.
Wow.
And they'd go, Doc, what did you do to me? And they knew him and loved him. He'd been their family doctor for those years. And so that's why it can be so quick.
Fantastic way to prove something is, the efficacy of something on real life people.
The reason I knew it worked is that I was doing research for the mind-body-spirit connection for a book I was doing, which is back on the shelf because I'm now doing it as opposed to writing about it.
Right.
But I came across Havening in a book. And I thought, wow, that sounds interesting. And there were these case studies. So I would then just before, I had to go to the UK to train because there weren't any trainings in Australia. They're in America and the UK. And I thought, let me try this. So a girlfriend I saw, she was at the coffee shop and she just looked terrible. And I said, what's wrong? And she goes, I can't talk. And left.
Yeah.
I wonder what's wrong. So I texted and said, are you okay?
Mm.
And she goes, something terrible has happened. She'd broken up with long-term boyfriend. And I said, okay. I said, look, can I come around? And she goes, maybe in a couple of days when I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
And I just read about it and I just thought about it and thought, I said,
and you were keen as.
Look, I was so keen.
Now's the time.
Yeah. I said, look, I've just smoked this new therapy and now is the time when you're not feeling good. Not in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
And she's,
on you.
Come around.
Yeah.
So I went around and literally within 10 minutes, she hummed happy birthday. We applied the Havening. We did a few distractions. She loved walking on the beach. And she was just like, she was a total mess. She was just distraught. At the end of those 10, 15 minutes maximum, he wasn't worth it anyway.
Wow. So she got her power back.
She got her power back.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful. She's written me a testimonial. Everything I'm sharing, people have said, I'm welcome to share. I've got that permission from them.
Mm.
And she's written a testimonial. And on there, she used to get panic attacks. She had anxiety.
Yeah.
She'd had that for years. Yeah. And she said since that one and only Havening session, she never had that again.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And she went on and she created a beautiful new relationship with a younger man. Mm. I mean, fantastic.
All worked out. So hopefully we're
after. It all works out, and that's what the stories are. So it's like clear what's going on, and then you can build forward.
Mm.
And as you said, Jo, very quick.
Yeah.
And so for people who come to me, if they've got a simple issue, might be fear of flying, they want to get pregnant, even that can be one session. A lot of things are one session
for
the issue they've got.
Mm.
Some might take three sessions, but it's not many sessions.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it all happens very quickly. And because with Havening and the other techniques I have, given you recordings and things, so if something pops up in the moment, you're activated. I just have to remember to press play.
Yes,
get my thinking brain on board. The amygdala's hijacking me. Once I'm thinking, press play, follow it along to my voice there, your haven, and all's like, okay, I feel good.
Yeah.
So the power is in your own hands, which I just love. And that's one of Dr. Rudin's biggest things.
Yes.
He wants to give this to the world, to somewhere in a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic procedure, very simple, like you said, Jo, deceptively simple for the bigger things.
Yeah.
But for minor things, people can learn this and just clear so much.
Yeah.
Especially after they've cleared the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
If you sort of, you don't want people going into the heavy stuff alone.
Mm.
But once that's cleared, then absolutely. It's like cleaning your teeth. It's like going for a walk on the beach. It becomes your daily ritual.
Yeah.
And I still do that.
Yeah.
We're our own walking toolkit, aren't we? As you say, we have all the tools we need within our hands and the potential that's 100%. Possible there. So I wanted to ask, going back to, because the book intrigues me, like with the nursing.
Yes.
You obviously enjoyed that very much. Yeah. And then did you have a family? Like, did the nursing continue? Because you're obviously very intelligent and curious to want to write a book and question this mind-body-spirit connection. To put it into a, you know, written format, you must have done a lot of research.
I did, Amanda. There was a gap between that as well. And so I met my husband quite young. We were only 18. We got married at 22. So we said, right, no children first off. We're going to travel the world. We're going to grow up ourselves.
Oh, wonderful. How and wise.
Definitely. I think we're a bit selfish. We're just old. We want to travel the world. We want to have some fun. But that was something that we chose, which was great. It was a good decision for us. And so I was nursing in that medical profession full-time, 7 years of it, so about 10. And then I went off and had some fun and went into the corporate sector. And there's a resort here on the Gold Coast called Sanctuary Cove Resort. And I was there for the pre-opening of that.
Oh, that was such a big deal. That whole development.
Oh, you were on the Gold Coast then?
Yes.
Oh, yes. So that was so much fun to be there pre-opening. And so that was another experience because within the hospital system, everyone did not want to be there.
Yeah.
Within the resort system, everyone wanted to be there. And so it was just a different way. So that was part of my growth, part of my expansion, dealing with people from all walks of life, because we'd have the celebrities come, we'd have the Prime Minister, like whatever. So we had all of that. So I've always had a great affinity with humanity. Doesn't matter whether they're the cleaner or, you know, the president, whoever it is. And I've just seen everyone, we're all the same. We're all the same. And everyone just is asking for love, or they're giving love. So yes, I sort of had that, which was fun. That was sort of like another 10 years or so. And then my husband and I decided, oh, time to have a child. And by this day she's going, oh, I still don't think I'm ready. I said, it's all right for you. We're almost too late for this. We might have met at 18, but now we're, you know, getting close to the other side. Oh, okay, okay. So yes, that's when we had our daughter. And for him, you know, beautiful guy that he is, he just said, wow, that was
life-changing
and amazing. And it really developed him as a person. So it was just beautiful to see him going from being the youngest child within his family of origin to then, like, right, now I really am, you know, a grown-up man. Nearly 40 years of age, I'm a grown-up man at last. And
heart expansion like no other, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, they have a beautiful relationship. It's great. So, yeah, that was that. And so during that time, I really thought, right, and I wanted to be at home with my daughter as long as I could be. And, you know, by that stage, we'd set ourselves up so that that was possible. It's not always possible for people, but that was part of the plan as well. And so I just loved it. I just loved having this beautiful little girl and her journey. And we were living in Sydney at the time. And there were a lot of other mums similar. Like, we weren't the 20-year-old mums. We were closer to the 35, 40-year-old mums. And so, yeah, it was all lovely and wonderful. But I just noticed with the children, that was really a big expansion for me, seeing all these beautiful, divine little humans and how pure and how they knew they were worthy. I just knew all of that. And then as they went through school, you could see things, oh, here we go, you know, the different layerings that came in. And, yeah, so that was, it was all part of the journey, obviously, what I had to go through. And that's when I said, right, the mind-body-spirit, very interesting connection. And from my own 10-year-old experience, I knew that we're not just this beautiful body here. There's so much more going on. And so, yes, that was just the deepening of everything. And that's when I started doing a lot of research and delving in and seeing what was out there. So the scientific side. So I'm sort of like, you know, I've got one foot on the in the science world and the other is definitely in the spiritual side and bringing them all together.
I think they do go together so beautifully, when you're open and not, you know, restricted or have limiting beliefs in one area that sort of is judging the other when
And I love that for Dr. Rudin's saying, because, you know, he, when he discovered Havening and was creating, he was a 50-year-old medical doctor, well revered, New York, straight up and down, Harvard educated.
Questioning that one. It's like, I've got all the things you can
But at the same time, Amanda, how can someone who's been suffering from PTSD have 1, 2, 3, or 4 sessions and that is all gone? Like he said, I can't keep this a secret. Open-minded skeptic. You know, he said, I've always been an open-minded skeptic, and he used to say to his doctor colleagues, please just be an open-minded skeptic. And science is ever-evolving. It's not a fixed form. That's the idea of science. This is what we know now. Like we all thought, not us, but previous, the world is flat. The yeah. world is flat. The world is flat. And in an instance, oh, had that wrong. I was actually round. I would change that belief, because a belief is just a thought we keep
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
It's something that we've been told, oh, that's right.
Mm. Yeah.
But you know,
there's enough people saying this is what we have to believe. And this is how it is.
This is
and then
fact.
There's a few people over here questioning and going, but.
Mm.
And then until that balance of people see for themselves. But that's what I love about what you're saying about Dr. Rudin experimenting on his own patients
oh,
and
yes.
having them, you know, just tangibly feeling it within their own bodies.
Before
not expecting it, no judgment around pre-expecting what was going to happen to them or anything, because it was impromptu.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, it was funny because he also has a twin brother.
Yeah.
Identical twin. And they've just turned 77 this week.
Wow.
So they're 77 now. So they both retired about 3 years ago.
Wow.
And he's very much not retired from Havening.
Mm-hmm.
Very much, you know, our leader within the community of the Havening. Like, he just loves it.
Absolutely. Well, you, I mean, you could.
Oh.
It's no, you're not doing any, like, yeah.
It's the kind of thing
you
that
can
keeps
do it.
You young.
I was
going to
say, you could do it 100%.
Forever. 100%. Yeah. 100%. And that's a big thing for people. Some people go, I can't wait till I retire. I'm going to move on to a golf course. I'll play golf every day. I go, well, 3 months, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Then you'll be bored stiff.
Yeah.
You know, and you see people who retire, they, and if they retire from life, basically, that's it.
Yeah.
A couple of years.
It's kind of self-fulfilling, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So I always say, you know, you just keep learning and keep expanding and keep awakening.
Yeah.
Till the day you go, okay, my soul is finished with this beautiful body. I'm just going to leave you now and off I go.
Yeah.
So.
And at 77, you've kind of, like, it's literally, as you say, like only the last 10, 15 years that it's been out in the world.
That's right.
It must be so exciting for him to, you know, have the community that he's establishing of all people teaching it
yes.
or passing it on
yeah.
and to see the people benefiting 100%. In real life that would be the greatest gift, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Mm. And the other thing that's nice about him, some people will teach modalities and they say, right, you must not deviate from this.
Oh yeah.
Stay in this box,
yeah.
stay in this lane. He's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
He says, you go forth. We know it works by itself, but
yes.
If you're already a hypnotherapist or a psychologist or whatever other modalities you have in your toolbox, add it with it.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so everyone within the Havening community, instead of saying, well, Havening bolts onto what I have, they now say, well, I use Havening in at least 90% of my sessions.
Yeah.
Everything else is now the bolt-on. The Havening
yeah.
is the standalone.
Yeah.
And that's how I definitely feel about it. It's at the core of everything I do.
Yeah.
But he's so flexible and open. And because he was never a therapist, so he's very open to learning. And someone will say, well, look, we could use it this way as well with the inner child work.
Mm.
Oh, great. Mm. So he's open to that expansion. But as I said, he just wants to share it with the world. He wants
yeah.
everyone to have this so it becomes a household name,
mm.
this thing called Havening.
Mm.
And it's a bit like when you have your own, when a baby's born.
Mm.
You know, we all need that touch to thrive. And it's natural and it's within us, some more than others.
Mm.
And if we haven't been parented that way, often we won't parent that way.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people come to us and they say, wow. I said, so it's like a gentle touch, just like your mother would have soothed you. My mother never soothed me.
Yeah.
Like the first time they have felt that lovely soothing touch is when they've come to have a Havening session.
Wow.
And it's like, what, you know, they obviously had been, you know, cared for, loved, but not necessarily in the way that we all love and need.
Yeah.
Like in Romania, there was that study, and I can't remember how long ago, but they had all these orphans, and they popped them in, lined them all up, all the little cribs, hundreds of them, gave them a bottle. Not many staff. It's fine. They're all cared for. No one got cuddled. No one got lifted up. They all passed on. They had mental illness. The power of touch we all need.
Yeah.
It's in us
yeah.
as mammals. Like you'll see that other mammals just look after their kin like that.
Yeah.
But a baby comes in. So if you're lucky enough, you have the baby. The doctor puts the baby on. You have this beautiful time together. And you stroke the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that gentle, it's just nurturing, it's in all of us.
Yeah.
So it's that lovely touch. And Joe, you
so
said with
true.
Your children,
yeah.
you'd soothe them.
Flash
but even when you have a friend, if a friend comes
so
to you and she might be upset, the first thing we do is we
100%.
Hand and we
yes.
will be like, oh, are you okay? And we're doing it naturally. 100%. It's like,
yes.
it's part of just who we are.
Yes,
yeah.
Joe. It's a natural. And all they did was they put the EEG machine on. so they could measure mm-hmm. where do we get the most delta waves.
Right.
So they hooked up.
Yeah.
And they, okay, so it's in a therapeutic session, it's from the shoulders yeah. down to the elbows.
Yeah.
Lifting, shoulders, elbows. Or very high delta waves that are created on your face across the forehead.
Yeah, that's where I like it.
Yeah.
Put me to sleep.
It's my favorite. I know this one as well. I love that.
Yeah. That's not technically a havening, but it is. That's the one I love at night, and mm-hmm. I've just adapted it. Yes. And once again, Dr. Rudin, just adapt it. But within the therapeutic session, it's the face across the cheeks and your hands.
Yeah.
So you can either have it up like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's just that slow, gentle. As if you've got like a glass pearl that you're holding between your hands. You don't want to drop it, but you don't want to crush it. And it's just that lovely, gentle.
Yeah.
And if you're out and about and you don't want anyone to see, you just pop your hands under the desk.
Yeah.
Or, and you can just gently, discreetly just haven your hands here.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of the students do. You know, they're at school. They don't want to be seen to be doing anything like that. So it's just very subtle.
Yes. Mm.
And yes, Amanda, my favourite one, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're lying in bed and you don't necessarily want to fully start havening, which you can, but you're just half awake and you put one hand on your chest, on your heart centre. I like to think, okay, connecting to your heart centre, connecting to the divine, and the other hand on top, you just sort of like basically in a circular motion, just stroke the hand that's on your heart.
Yeah.
And you're getting a one hand haven.
Yes.
And so it is still havening. And you can soothe yourself, and before you know it, you're back to sleep.
Yeah.
Or if you're worried about something, you can just lay there and just worried and worried. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh. Because what you're doing is de-linking that pathway that's been created in the brain. So it's actually so the biology is being changed without drugs, without surgery, just with your own hands in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
That's a that's the fantastic part, is there's no outside influences. It's purely your own.
No side effects. Zero side effects. That's the whole thing. Except, you know, joy and expansion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who's going to say, sorry, I don't want that today?
It makes you realise what train tracks our thoughts are, isn't it?
Oh,
you
know? Freeways. Amanda, some of them are nine-lane freeways.
Yeah, nine-lane.
Yeah. And that's why.
And then you get some cars going the wrong way in one of the lanes. And
100%. And semi-trailers coming at you.
Yeah.
And that's why with talk therapy, it's very tricky, because you can be just reinforcing and embedding those negative thoughts and feelings and emotions, and that biology is becoming, you know, stronger.
Yeah.
Whereas with the havening, there's a chemical process that delinks it, like completely delinks it. There's the memory, but it doesn't have that on-ramp to have the emotional charge.
Mm.
So it's like, I know this thing happened to me when I was 4 years old, but I now realise, okay, that wasn't about me, and I survived. Obviously, I'm here. I'm safe. I'm connected to all that is. I'm okay. And so then you can go on and live your life without being triggered by something else that is actually linked to the earlier.
Yes.
And that's what I say, you know, with my beautiful daughter. I say, okay, darling, look, this is happening now. I wonder what the real trigger is. I wonder where that is. And then you go and find that.
Yes.
And it's like a domino effect. So if you can find what the initial encoding memory was, that knocks it down.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, I don't have any memories of my childhood. That generally means you've had quite a traumatic childhood.
Yes.
I don't want to remember it. Yes. The brain goes, I'll protect you. We won't remember
it. I've hidden it in a box somewhere inside. It's in there. I just don't want to,
But that lid. Yeah.
Well, we have our ways and means of finding that.
Yes.
And you can de-link that, and which is wonderful. And then, of course, the person goes, wow, I feel free.
Yeah.
And it often opens up the memories once you've cleared back a layer and what was hiding underneath, and you deal with that. And then it's like, okay, that was the past. I'm okay.
Mm. Yeah.
I've survived. I'm fine. Now I'm going to thrive, because they take it off.
I know with my session too that things come up that I wasn't expecting.
I know. Yeah. I love that.
So that was really cool. Too. Things just pop in once you take that layer off.
Like, it's like, hello, like you're in a state and I'm, you know, traveling along, next minute this, it's like a little thing comes in. It's like, hi. It's like, what the hell? Where did you come from?
And
like,
something you never would think would be a
problem. No, exactly. Which is really interesting in itself.
It doesn't always have to be something big on that
night.
No, it does not.
You know, can be big.
100%. I often say to people, don't be surprised, because the thing you're coming for is often not
Which is life, isn't it?
It is
life. Always we worry about this, and it's not the thing that we need to be worried about. Or it's kind of a bit like life.
Did you just on life, and because one of the questions we ask is, when did you notice a change around the world? And I'm just curious to think, like, from the people that you work with, I would like you to consider that question, but in it also in an avenue rolling on from that, people that you're working with, did you notice through COVID years, like the any trauma or things that people were coming to you with change? Like, was there an influence from that worldly experience?
Definitely. And it was interesting too, because it brought up a lot for people because they were at home. And all of a sudden they didn't have the distractions of going out. So it did bring up a lot of things. One beautiful person who came to me during that time, she was French, and she was slightly estranged from her family.
Yeah.
And she'd been living here. She made her life here. She ran away from home, basically.
Yeah.
And she'd been here for about 40 years. And during that time, she'd go back occasionally, but didn't have a good relationship with the family. And during that time, of course, we're locked down. And her 89-year-old mother was very unwell. Oh. She couldn't go and visit her.
Yeah.
We just could not get out of Australia. And all of a sudden, it brought everything up from her childhood, and the mother passed. And so she felt this grief and also this guilt that A, she'd run away, and B, she wasn't there for her mother when she died. So she came to me after the mother had died. It had been 3 months. She had insomnia. She had grief. She just couldn't function. She luckily had developed her own family here and had a daughter and a granddaughter. So she came to me and we cleared that. And she wrote me a note the next day and she just said, wow, for the first time in 58 years, I feel worthy. And I just want to, you know, sing this evening from the rooftops, because I don't know what you did, but I slept for the first time. I now have a sense of peace about my mother. And it was just so interesting within that session. But she, her dad was unwell at the same time. So he'd hung on, basically. They were together and he'd hung on for her, and she passed. And he said, I think he then, okay, I'm going now too.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he was in a hospice, and her sister had never left, and she didn't have a good relationship with the sister either. But anyway, they reconnected over Zoom during this time. And so after the first session, and we had connected with the mother in the session, which was beautiful. So they'd been able to do that. And then she realized, well, okay, it's a bit like I used to have to ring her or Zoom call her. Now I just don't need to use the telephone. I can just talk to mum at any time. And there was this beautiful forgiveness about everything. And because the mother was her pure spiritual self, she was just pure love. And because you're in that beautiful delta wave state, and it's just this lovely connection. So she had that and had this real feeling. So I just said to her, look, go on Zoom with your sister and your dad in the hospice, and just get her to stroke your dad's arm and just to tell him, I love you, Dad, everything, just do that. And I said, the best thing is she's getting what I call the reverse haven. So the sister was getting havened on her hand because she was havening the dad without knowing it was called havening, just soothing Dad, just soothe Dad. And so that brought them closer together. And so eventually the dad passed, and I said, come and see me after your dad passes and we'll connect with Dad. And she was so much lighter from the first session, from when she cleared with the mum. She was like a different person coming. Now Dad's passed, but she still couldn't get out of Australia to go and see Dad.
Yeah.
But because she had cleared all that grief from growing up with them and feeling that she'd been abandoned and rejected by them, and then how she felt guilty and rejected and abandoned them at their time of need. So yes, connected with Dad, and both mum and dad came through. And they weren't huggy type people growing up, and she said, I don't remember them ever saying that I love you. And in the session, sometimes people will speak through you where it's like the channeling, and I just let whatever's coming will come. And in that, you know, they said, you know, we've always loved you, I'm so sorry, we never cuddled you, we weren't cuddled, we were never shown that that type, but we do love you, we've always loved you, we'll always love you. I mean, it was just so beautiful. And then the mum, who really, she wasn't close with, pushed the dad out of the side. She's telling me this, mum's just pushed Dad out, but I want to hug her too. And it was just so beautiful. So yes, it was an interesting time for people, and I think a lot of people grew from that, and a lot of people went in, and if you've got the right tools, it really was a time of expansion. And can still be. It's never too late.
No.
Once you know.
But it shook a lot of things up.
Definitely. And it awoke a lot of people too. You know, I think that was a big, no one wants to go through that again, and it was handled, in my opinion, incorrectly. But it's like a lot of people expanded from that experience as well.
Either way.
And as you say, there's every day we're here for the expansion, isn't it? That's that it. Was just a magnification of the expansion process we choose to go about that.
Fast forward in a quick way, really, when you think about it.
Even in your own
life, did you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It was supposed to happen. Definitely. It was a gift.
Everything's supposed to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why with the world as it is, people are going, oh no, the sky is falling, Chicken Little. It's like, look, think back, look at the previous times, the Ice Age, all of that. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's perfect. We're just expanding and growing and we're all good here.
Yeah.
Don't live your life in fear.
No. Okay, we're getting down to the little last few questions.
Don't live your life.
Which I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask anyway because it's probably you might surprise us. But what do you do now to support yourself for staying in the moment?
Yes, well, I probably won't surprise you, Joe, after this conversation. But part of it is, and I say this to everyone, is that how you're feeling will show you where you are with your thoughts. So if you're not feeling happy, if you're not feeling joy, if you're not feeling peace, okay, what have I just been thinking about? Or what have I just been watching? Or what a conversation have I just had?
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason that we would be feeling the way we're feeling.
So true.
And so it's just be here now. So be here now. Okay, all right. Well, okay, take a breath. Okay. And to me, the breath, because of that experience I had, is like your breath is the connection to the life force.
Yes.
A little bit like the baby comes out, takes that breath away from the mother. That's the life force.
Mm.
And so to me, always go to the breath, go to the havening.
Yeah.
And also with our brain, it loves to hear, I'm okay, I'm safe, and I'm loved.
Yeah.
And if your brain goes, oh, you're okay, you're safe, you're loved, the fight, flight, freeze part goes, oh, nothing for us to do here.
Yeah.
Let's go and have a nap. Let's go on to the heal, thrive, rest, repair part. So you've got the two different nervous systems within the physical body. So one is either I'm fight, flight, freeze, I'm fawning, I'm going into defensive rage.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, we're not healing.
Mm.
We're not digesting the food. Okay, so when we're out of that side, on the physical side, and the parasympathetic, which is your rest, repair, thrive side, that's when you heal. So anything physical issues, your digestion goes on, you're feeling much happier, you feel relaxed, you sleep well. Well, havening, straight away, puts you into that parasympathetic, just like that, Joe. And with your breath and with your mind. So you take the mind. And what is your mantra? For me, it's I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm safe and I'm loved. I'm okay. And you put a little smile on your face, even if you don't feel like it, because that then tricks the brain to go, oh, well, she's smiling. So there's no real issue. There's no tiger. We don't need to be fearful here. Okay, well, we must be okay.
Yeah.
And then it hears your words. Say it out loud. I'm okay. I'm safe. And I'm loved.
Yeah.
And those beautiful delta waves kick in, and that soothes your system as well.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
The sleep thing is real because in the havening that we've done together, we and the practice itself, I noticed a huge difference in being able to sleep. Actually sleep.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's very restorative.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yes.
Because you've gone into rest and repair. So Amanda, it's not just the sleeping; your whole body's healing. So things that, you know, think, oh, well, I won't heal that, whatever's going on with your skin, excuse me, it goes, I need to be alert. Is there a tiger coming into this bedroom? Of course there's not.
It could be.
She does have a cat.
Oh, you do, Albert.
Yes, beautiful Albert.
Well, yeah, so it is one of those things. So you're, wow, okay, so now my body can heal. And so for anyone who's having physical issues, if you deal with the mind part first, you let go of those encoded traumas, you'll find that you'll heal your body. And so I'm a big believer in that. So sometimes people come just for physical issues. And I've had a woman who had cancer, and she was already down the track of going through the chemotherapy, but they weren't giving her a good prognosis.
Yes.
So the diagnosis was here, and the prognosis is probably not that good in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said, well, look, let's just go, let's leave the white coats. They do a great job to the limit of what they know within the physical body. But you're so much more than just that physical body. And so we went down this track. I said, how old is your youngest grandchild? And he was 13. And she was having the treatment. And I said, okay, let's be the movie director. So we cleared a lot of the fear because, of course, someone gets a cancer diagnosis, they go straight into fear.
Of course. Yeah.
So we cleared the fear. We cleared the prognosis when the white coat doctor said, okay, maybe 2 years if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
we cleared that. And I said, okay, so there's so much more going on. Like, whose job description is it to bring the sun up each morning?
Yeah.
I mean, it's no one I know.
Yes.
It's no human. Like, there's something going on here, yes, greater than us. Yeah. Even if you don't believe in God, spirit, whatever, mm, we can't all explain how a 50-kilogram woman can lift up a car because her child is trapped, yes, underneath. Like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
Super. And this beautiful blue-green planet they're on is spinning through the universe, and we're here having a nice cup of tea, and we're having a chat, yeah, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And so I just said to her, go into the future. She'd already had the other grandchildren graduate. You're at your youngest grandchild's graduation. He's 13, so he'll be 18 5 years from now. And she loved to dance. I said, there's you and your husband. You're celebrating. There's the family. You're dancing. You're looking great. You're looking radiant. You look so healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's going through all this while havening. It's not just visualizing. So she's havening, which I call the rocket fuel. So she's in that delta wave state. She's gone down there into the memory making. She's gone down there. She's let go of all of the traumas associated with it. Anyway, so the other day, I know this woman. She lives in our building. And we're out to coffee. There's a few of us. And that was 6 years ago now. And she'd been given the all clear.
Yeah.
And then she got the 5-year mark.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm cancer free. That's where we're at now.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And we're having coffee. And one of the other ladies goes, oh, yes, Karen saved my life. And this wasn't this lady. And she goes, well, Karen saved my life. And then another lady who's in our building, have you both been haven? Oh, yes.
Oh, how beautiful.
It was so lovely, because I say nothing.
The one in your building feels so amazing.
Yes.
You've got all this beautiful
energy
in there.
You've been haven in there.
Well, you know, it's the client. Yes. Confidentiality, client therapist.
Yes.
I say nothing. Of course, what comes on, same with you girls. What comes in, this is us.
Yeah.
But they go and tell the world, which is fine by me. You know, if they're talking about it, that's great. But I just love this lady. And then separately to me, she was going, she was telling me about the grandson. She goes, oh, yeah, we had the graduation. Just like you said, I was dancing and I was radiating.
Beautiful.
So it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's just
so. So it works on the physical as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just the emotional.
Yeah.
If people have got physical issues, so much can be done.
Oh, that's so, and also just with that communication there is, you know, timelines can be changed. All
definitely,
of that, you
definitely.
Know, it's like there's so much going on in that one session.
There is.
It's just really what I was thinking. There's
beautiful.
Any possibility is possible.
Yeah.
100%. Well, I've had people go back into the womb and have redo their birth because they had a traumatic birth but also a traumatic pregnancy where the mother was stressful. Whatever.
Yes.
So I've had people actually go back in and then have the birth they wish they had with the understanding that they have now as opposed to that baby coming through full of fear.
Yeah.
Because the baby's having generally a very nice time in utero.
Yeah.
Not always.
Yes, yeah.
And I just wish everyone could get haven before pregnancy.
Yes,
that would be my ideal.
Yeah.
Basically haven everyone from a baby.
Yeah.
And that's why I became involved. And like I say to all the clients, if you've got any children or any grandchildren, straight away.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just one of those things where lost the train of thought.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, any possibility is possible.
Yeah,
and the early starting is obviously, you know,
definitely
early secret key, or the
and also with the dad.
Key,
you know, it's one of those things people forget about the dad.
Yeah.
Like the mother does everything. She goes, I have a clean diet. I'm exercising. I'm taking my vitamins. I'm getting my earthing. I'm getting the sunshine, vitamin D.
Yeah.
Dad's out.
Yeah.
Smoking, drinking.
Yeah.
Not looking after himself.
Yeah.
Stress, working hard. Stressed out.
Worried about how he's going to have a child because he doesn't know how to be his own inner child.
All of that. So ideally, if you're haven the dad and the mum. Prior to conception.
Perfect.
And then the mother during pregnancy realizes, well, if the mother's stressed, the baby's stressed.
Yeah.
If the mother's relaxed, the baby's relaxed because, of course, you're connected via the umbilical cord.
Mm.
You're exchanging everything.
Yeah.
The chemicals from your emotions, not just the food that you've digested.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, everything's imprinted on the other, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, we're down to our very last question.
Oh my god,
you've done so well. It's amazing.
This has been so much fun.
I know you're going to be inundated now with people that are going to want you. It is incredible. It really is incredible. How do you see the world now, and what do you think is next for us?
The crystal ball.
Yes.
I just think everything's beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything is just the divine plan.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are worried about what's going on. They're fearful. I see that everything's just happening, unfolding. And if people let go of their fears, if they can just haven away the fears, and then they can move forward and be empowered. And I call it re-empowering, because the children come out, they're empowered. They might be on their human side, just helpless, but their spirit is strong, and they know they're worthy, and they know they came here, they're meant to be here, and they have a life purpose. So if we, that's why I say that my sessions are like freedom and empowerment. You free people from the issues, which then empowers them to live the life they came here to live. And so with these beautiful techniques that are, you know, becoming more common in the world, if people can soothe themselves, if they can get out of the fear, they can then move in to who they really are. And so love for themselves, number one. Because if you don't love yourself, you haven't got anything to give anyone else. So that true love, remembering who you are, knowing that you're not alone, that you're connected to something greater. And then you are always gifting the love. So whatever the situation, you can let things brush off you much easier. If someone is having a 44-year-old temper tantrum, you can go, okay, this is not about me. I can let that go. I might have been the straw that broke the camel's back right here, but it actually goes back a long way. You can have grace for that person, and your energy is going out into the world. My daughter's in America at the moment, and I know that I can be thinking of her, and I can either be loving her or I can be worrying about her, and she's getting that. So I'm choosing to, okay, I'm feeling a bit worried here. No, don't need to be worried. I can clear that and I can go into the loving. So it's a bit like, if we become clearer channels, that's affecting the whole world. It's not just your family. It's just not the people you work with. It's not just your friends, the three of us sitting here. Whilst we're communing all together, it's going out into the world, having that ripple effect.
Comes back to that expansion, doesn't it? If we're all doing it, we're all creating more expansiveness.
And Jo, it can be so much fun, you know, have fun, feel good, be happy any way you can. If you sort of go along those lines, if you know that the basis of life is freedom, the purpose of life is joy, the result of all of that is going to be expansion. Now, of course, some things are going to pop up along the way. It's our humanness, that's fine. But you now have some tools. Okay, let me just clear that. Okay, I'm feeling much freer. I can think clearly. Because when you're in that fear state, you're not thinking. You're not creating, you're not expanding, because you're thinking of survival. So it's like, oh, I've been activated. I'm supposed to think this is a good idea. Okay, I think it's a great idea because I've been activated. There's something that's come up. Let me clear that. And now, okay, where am I now? Knowing that now I'm going to expand and go on to the next level.
And immediately you just, again, go back into that space where anything is possible.
Everything's possible. Everything's possible.
It's a beautiful, expansive, free, empowered space of being in love instead of being trapped in all the myriad of things that don't work in our favour.
Yes, definitely.
And that we've trained ourselves without knowing to hold on to. And to just have this beautiful technique that is all around touch, because as a remedial therapist,
of course,
people love, people respond, the healing power of touch is phenomenal. But within this technique of havening, it's just really very
nurturing.
Very nurturing, and as you said, Jo, simple and instant, as you said, Karen, like it's just
And
magical.
Also permanent. It's permanent as well. This is a beautiful thing. You know, like my beautiful husband loves a massage once a week. He'll go and have a massage. He'll come home like a little lamb. He'll be like happy. That for a couple of hours. Then he might get triggered by something. And of course, he wants me to be his lover, not his therapist. Thank you very much, Karen.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. But yes, the beautiful, a massage is amazing. We all feel good. If you like, if you like having a massage, you feel great after a massage. The thing I love about havening is that you're de-encoding something. So yes, you're having the lovely soothing, but you've also then permanently let go of something.
Which is,
and so then you've got that lovely feeling.
Because as you say, like, you know, the little lamb suddenly gets triggered and sees a tiger.
That's right.
We, with people, often with people, they like to have the massage regularly. But there's no behavioural changes or anything like that. So it's, you know, lovely to receive and very important to receive massage for multiple reasons. But the decoding is
the magic changer. It's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
Secret sauce. It is. Not the ice cream on the shit.
No, that was horrible. I mean, when it came out of my mouth, I was like, it's just such a horrible saying. But you can visualize that it's
joke.
So true.
Yes. Joke. 100% true. It's 100% true. I often say it's like getting a moldy cake and putting the beautiful icing on. Yeah. Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yours is a bit.
This is out of date. I'll still use it anyway. Yeah. You know,
oh, it looks so pretty, and then you. Oh, this doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. No, that was phenomenal, Karen. Yeah, incredible information that you've shared with us today, and we're so grateful that we actually both Amanda and I have got to experience the Havening technique, and it really, really is so beautiful just to be in Karen's space and have that done. And
there's
a lot of
joy.
Yeah. So graciously, once again. Offered, it's a meditation or a havening.
It'll be like a little mini havening session.
Yeah.
If the listeners would like to, if your audience would like, maybe if they just send me an email, I can just send it to them.
Perfect.
Yes. And it can just be like a little taster session for them.
Love it.
Yes.
Clear something they may have going on. Just give them some freedom.
That would be amazing. We're going to pop that at the end of the show notes, as well as all of Karen's information and her. Contact details for. I know all of you are going to want to jump on and have a session with her.
Please do.
Yeah,
please
it's amazing.
Do. Yeah,
thank
we'll
you
definitely
so
have fun and expansion, like we did with you girls.
Yes,
always have fun and expansion.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the takeaways. Apart from the decoding and the actual experience with yourself, and you're having fun when you're having therapy.
100%. I know.
Unheard of.
It's like, wait a minute, that doesn't compute right.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And you know. Did we laugh?
Yes,
laugh
we laughed a lot.
Yeah,
yes.
I laughed,
and we went very deep, very quick.
Yeah.
We don't have to stay too far, which is the beauty. 30 seconds.
Yes.
Thinking about that negative part, and then we move away from that. That's the idea of the havening. Yeah. And next thing you know, we're laughing, and it's
exactly
great.
So
because laughter,
decodes
the quickest.
Yeah.
So it naturally comes up.
You can feel
up,
that, yeah.
But I definitely go down that track. Go right. We're going to get a giggle out of this.
Yeah.
Because it just makes things go so much faster. Because if you're laughing, the brain goes, oh. Well, that was no big deal then. Oh, I can let that go. Oh, I'm not 4 years old, trapped here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, listeners, jump on board and have an experience with Karen. You won't regret it at all. It's amazing.
It's a lot of joy.
And
a lot of fun.
Thank you, lovely.
Thank you. And thank you for your work in the world that you're doing.
Oh,
so beautiful.
It's too easy when we're sitting
with
people like you.
Yeah.
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I talk to a spirit. She comes in my dreams.
Thank you for listening to our Girl Awakening podcast. We are also on YouTube as Girl Awakening. We'd love to see you there with comments on how our guests resonated with you or your own awakening. Please share the love with a like and subscribe while you're there. A blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.